16. You can't find her. No one can. Chun had done her reading long ago. She knew about adrenaline and metabolic breakdown. She had analyzed studies of group behaviors under pressure. Ya Ling, her ex-girlfriend, who, now Chun thought about it, had put up with a lot of bullshit from her, had said she was doing all that to try to understand something intellectually that could only ever be worked through emotionally. Ya Ling had said, "You shut down when you were a teenager and you never really came back. I get it, but you need to talk to someone," Ya Ling had said. "You weren't actually here, you know. It doesn't mean anything with that girl, but she was here. And she tells me what she's feeling," Ya Ling had said. "You have to stop running sometime." But who the fuck knew where Ya Ling was now? And, as it had turned out, Chun had very much had to not stop running. After the fall of Hong Kong, months of civil unrest, homelessness, living through martial law, Chun had sat in an offshore refugee camp waiting to be processed for entry into the United Kingdom. It had been endless weeks and months with her grieving, broken father, and she was a teenager, knowing that only the future held anything for her. She felt as if she could press her whole body and her determination and her fear against the present until the glass smashed and she was allowed to enter that new now. And then she would forget all this and she would become a different person. She would be okay at last. She had studied for 12 examinations in that camp and achieved 12 top grades. She had done it with sheer will. She had stayed out of fights and she had kept away from gangs. And at night, she had learned to sleep with whatever noise and screaming rent the darkness. She had seen things in the camp she'd never wanted to see. The way people broke down at first, piece by tiny piece, and then all at once. There was a kind Chinese woman who kept her hair and clothes so tidy until she found a maggot in her face cream, and the tide of self-disgust washed her whole self away. After that, Chun had seen her only at the edge of the camp. Once she saw her running with a group chasing down a stray dog, and later roasting it over an acrid fire of plastic and rubber. She had met the woman's eye for a moment and seen that there was no self there. No human person left. Ya Ling had said, "This is exactly the kind of thing you need to talk to someone about. It might actually help." So Chun didn't tell her about the mud, the friend of her father's, an erudite man who spoke 5 languages, who destroyed his own shelter in a fit of violent rage, and then lay very still, his face the color of mud under the broken pieces, and would not stand or walk. He waited for illness and death to take him, and although it took 6 weeks eventually, the mud reclaimed him. Chun had been too young to know what she found out about human nature in that camp, but having studied for those exams she'd never asked for, she was prepared now. From the far promontory, she watched Lenk Sketlish bring down a mountain, and she knew what he was. She said to her suit, "Can you help me hide from him?" The suit said, "I will help you, Chun." She remembered the long nights in the camp with the moldy smell of rotten wood burning in the back of her throat, the memory of the man lying down in the mud, the sense she had then that the earth itself was a hostile place, that the soil would rise up and swallow her if she let it, the dreams in which she felt the mud in her mouth and nose and growing down her throat, the absolute knowledge that if she allowed herself to weaken for 1 hour to take a single job with one of the gangs that circulated drugs and phones around the camp, to sit for 1 afternoon at the fires, if she allowed herself to forget the future Chun shining and golden and waiting, she would never come back. Right at the edge of the ring finger nail of her right hand, Chun saw a fragment of silver, a fleck of nail polish from a silly night a month or more ago, a science fiction party in a warehouse in Bucharest, a party full of imagined futures from the past. Sarit had done the robot very badly. Marius had sung drunken David Bowie karaoke. That fleck was the party. She had carried it with her, and it was here in the midst of everything, and she would survive. On the promontory, she said to the mud, "You won't have me. You're nothing but a pack of cards. There is no horror on the stair. Nothing in the jungle draws out our cruelty or decay. The only darkness in the heart is the dark we brought with us." She said to the suit, "I don't believe in any of this. It could have been fine here, even without comms." The suit said, "Okay." Jen said, "But I believe Lenk Sketlish isn't in control of himself anymore, if he ever was. I believe he won't stop looking for me unless he thinks I'm dead." The suit said, "Yes,